We're reading the study of the Ten Sefirot, the first volume, page 50, Inner Light, item 10. Rav, before we do that, friends asked if you can give us, please, the right intention to study the study of the Ten Sefirot.
We learn the second part, the first volume, second part of Tess, that we're talking about igulim and yosher, circles and straightness. What is circles and what is straightness? Circles is the influence of the Creator upon the created beings. The straightness is already that there are the created beings, and these created beings are in some connection with the Creator. When we speak about the circle, that's the influence from the Creator. When we speak about the line, it's also influence from the Creator, but already towards a specific created being that reacts, that is in his will to receive, that the Creator bestows to him and receives into account the quality of the created being. Now that we learn circle and straightness, we learn it very generally, and of course, very far from reality. The relations between the Creator and the created beings. Now, the circles influence the straightness and what the straightness can receive from the circles to change the behavior with the circles, of the circles with him, maybe. This is the beginning of our study. Yes, we're also in this research of the relations between us and the Creator. But from within this, later will come a clearer form where we are, where the Creator is, how He influences us upon all the created beings, gradually through all the actions that He's performed in us and will perform in us in all this lengthy process till He brings the entire creation through all the records and influences from above to the state that this creation will become familiar with Him, recognize Him, and reach His degree. So that's what we're doing now. We're learning, initially, of course, we don't know. We're like kids. We're learning ABC in school, or the multiplication table, such things. The things that kids don't understand what they need it for, when they'll ever use it. Such also, we don't understand where we are yet. How is this going to help us? Sometimes it seems to us, oh yes, we're closer to it, but truly, it's still far.
Yes.
Do the any other question?
No, that's they asked for an intention before the lesson. This is the intention.
So, there is a few approaches here to the study. First of all, is just to become familiar with it as we read it, and to understand that, of course, we need it, because Kabbalists did not write a single word without us being able to use it to attain the goal of creation. That's one. On the other hand, we understand that we're small and we don't understand yet where we are. So we learn it in a superficial, external manner, sometimes more, sometimes less understanding, sometimes maybe we feel something, but it's the material of Tess is not obligatory. We simply need to use it in two forms. One, that in any case, we begin to understand it in something, what's happening, what it's talking about, and we understand it in our corporeal mind, of course, which is, of course, very distant from spirituality. But in any case, and somehow we awaken the surrounding lights upon us. On the other hand, yes, we do want it to influence us, and for the sake, for the name of the surrounding lights, we're learning and we want it to influence us, to change us, to make of us, instead of corporeal human beings, into spiritual beings.
So we're going to start reading again. We're in first volume, second part, Inner Light, item 10, starting with words, because the lights. It explains the vessel is divided into internality and externality. Item 10. Because the lights were divided into inner light and surrounding light, there are now two kinds of reception in the vessel. They are reception inside the vessel and reception in the externality of the vessel. The inner light is received inside the vessel, and the surrounding light that refines it from its coarseness is regarded as received through the externality of the vessel, meaning without clothing inside the vessel. This division of the vessel into internality and externality is determined according to the coarseness and refinement in the vessel. That is because only its coarseness is worthy of receiving the inner light, because the vessel of reception of the emanated being consists primarily of phase 4. Indeed, the first three phases are not qualified to receive, but cause phase 4 to appear. For this reason, each vessel is regarded as having its own four phases in the vessel, and the light appears primarily in its phase 4. That is why she is called the internality of the vessel and its interior, where the abundance is found. The three phases that only make phase 4 appear in the vessel, while they do not receive themselves, are regarded as encircling phase 4 from the outside. It is like the coarseness of the wall of a corporeal vessel that consists of four layers, one surrounding the other. Everything is received only in the interior of the vessel, meaning the interior crust, while the other three crusts of the walls of the vessel only strengthen the interior crust, so that it has the strength to tolerate its filling. We should understand spirituality in much the same way, namely, that phase 4 is the primary phase that holds the abundance in the vessel. The first three phases are the reasons for the appearance of the full power of phase 4, until she is suitable to hold the abundance. While for themselves, they are not qualified to sustain the inner light. They are called the externality of the vessel because they are excluded from receiving the inner light. Phase 3 is the externality of phase 4. Phase 2 is the externality of phase 3. Phase 1 is the externality of phase 2 and surrounds all the other phases. Outside all of them, there is yet another external phase without any coarseness, which is the root of all four phases in the vessel. Know that this totally refined phase is the vessel of reception for the surrounding light. The reason for it is that its wondrous purity enables it to receive the illumination of the surrounding light, although it comes from afar. We now learned about the division of the vessel, its internality, meaning its coarsest phase, namely phase 4 in the vessel, receives the inner light. Its externality, meaning its most refined phase, the root phase in the vessel, receives the surrounding light from afar. We should also not ask why phase 4 is not worthy of receiving because of the power of the restriction and the screen in her, as we are concerned only with the reflected light that rises from phase 4.
Meaning, he explains to us here how much the vessel, although it includes 4 phases, 4 degrees of coarseness, only the 4th phase is developed enough such that it receives the light. It is the will to receive. And all the rest of the degrees, they are previous. They form, stabilize the 4th phase. And such, we relate the vessel only to the 4th phase. And only, and the 3 previous phases, we relate them to the preceding causes to the 4th phase. Is that clear?
Tel Aviv 3.
Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, Bchina Dalet is the essence of the created being. On the other hand, it's as if it's concealed. There are many klipot there. How does a person detect the 4th phase in him?
I don't understand what you're asking. The 4th phase is the main thing. We feel the 4th phase, the will to receive. What causes it is all these qualities that maintain the will to receive, that hold it. Our main work is with the 4th phase. Hebrew 10.
Yes, Rav, he asked in item 10 here. He writes here that only the coarseness in it is worthy of receiving the inner light.
Yes.
Why not in the purity? In the refinement, I thought, he receives the inner light.
How can you receive something if there's no desire? Coarseness is desire. Yes, so he says like this. You have a vessel, right? And enters into it, inside the vessel, light. So what's the main thing here? The main thing, the foundation, the basis of the vessel, that's the main thing. The 4th phase, let's say. 4. That's it. And all the rest of these things, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, they cause the 4th phase. But the 4th phase is desire. And all the rest of the aspects, they just build that desire.
Inner light is only revealed in Bchina Dalet or in the previous ones?
All the light are revealed only in the 4th phase. And the previous phases, they pass and they form in such manner, but they feel the light in the 4th phase. PT 12.
Rav, it says here that the 3 crusts in are, well, in short, their purpose is for 4th phase to tolerate the filling in it. What does it mean to tolerate the filling in it?
That if these walls are okay, then they build the 4th phase such that it will be able to receive and intention to bestow all the upper light. Okay, let's go. Oh, wait, PT6. PT6.
Thank you. The root phase, is there root coarseness or is there no coarseness? Or is it the same?
That's level of coarseness of root.
So there's no coarseness there?
That's why it's coarseness of root.
The inner light bestows, the surrounding light bestows upon all the sefirot or only the sefirot that it revolves? Because it says that the vessels of the circles are surrounding only the Rosh. So the surrounding light bestows upon the Rosh only?
Surrounding light influences all the sefirot and the different extents, how much is it is tied to each and every sefirah.
Thank you.
And no more questions, so Dudi, let's continue.
So we're in item 4, the words of Dari, title. The light of circles is the light of Nefesh, and the light of straightness is the light of Ruach. The circles were emanated first, and the straightness next. Item 4. The difference between the circles and the straightness relates to the fact that the 10 sefirot of circles are regarded as the light of Nefesh. They have inner light and surrounding light, internal and external. They consist of 10 sefirot of vessels, each consisting of internality and externality. There are also 10 sefirot of lights, where each light consists of inner light and surrounding light. However, the 10 sefirot of straightness are regarded as the light, called light of Ruach, which is a higher degree than the degree of Nefesh. They too consist of inner light and surrounding light, and have 10 sefirot of vessels, in each of which there are internality and externality. Obviously, the Nefesh was emanated first, and the Ruach next.
And below?
Below, inner light, item 20, explains the 10 sefirot of circles. All the sefirot that can only receive the lights and have no ability to bestow upon others, the light in them is called light of Nefesh. It has already been explained that all the light in the circles must be received from the light of the line. The reason is that the upper light cannot permeate the vessels except by a coupling with a screen that raises reflected light. This is because this reflected light connects the light with the vessels. Consequently, the upper light does not connect with the vessels that do not have that screen, and they cannot impart onto others from above downward. Instead, they can only receive light from the previous degree, from below upward, for their own sustenance. This light is called the light of Nefesh. Thus, because there is no screen in the above vessels of circles, the upper light cannot permeate them, and they must receive light from the line. But even that is for their mere sustenance, and not to bestow. For this reason, the light in the circles is called the light of Nefesh.
Meaning, it's not that the light of Nefesh is small, rather this type of reception of light is small. If he receives it without any resistance, without any drawing, rather whatever comes, it enters and fills it, that's called the light of Nefesh, blowing. It's the lowest degree, smallest degree. All the rest of the degrees, let's say Ruach, you know, like wind, that there's already motion from place to place, it has motion of itself, and so on. That's a different type of reception, dependent upon the created being. or rather nefesh, it like fills everything. Queens.
Dear Rav, in this excerpt it says about the long and the straightness.
Line and straightness is the same thing, but we're talking about the line is that it receives in a certain form, and straightness is that gives to what passes through it its certain quality. And such, there's a difference between these lines, line and straightness. That's it. Okay, so let's keep reading.
No, there's PT-13. There's a very strong impression from the first part of the lesson when we read now. What should we do with this impression?
What we learned before.
Yes.
In the excerpt?
Yes. Very, very strong.
Okay, good. That's how it should be. It's really a very strong lesson, a very important topic. And I recommend for you to go over it again, because in this we are forming today our vessels actively for reception of revelation of the Creator.
The question is, can we interpret it with respect to what we read now, or shouldn't we?
No.
All right.
Don't confuse us. You can do yourself whatever you want. God forbid. A lesson is a lesson. We learn it. You want to learn more? Please go over it. Also, I don't recommend to just reading on and on, because then you might have too much confusion and chaos in your head. But to go over what we learned, to listen to the lesson again, you'll begin to hear things that you didn't hear. PT-19.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, friends. He says here that the vessels don't have a screen. The upper light cannot permeate them, and they must receive light from the line. Is there a concept of vessels without a screen?
Of course. Vessels of circles is vessels without a screen.
Where are we as the ones who study the wisdom of Kabbalah? Do we have vessels at all?
I don't understand. You woke up now after 20 years?
That's not the thing. The thing is, a person who studies Kabbalah, does he have a kli? Does he have a vessel? Or first he has to build a screen, then he receives a vessel?
I don't know. Is he studying or not studying? My little kid goes to, I don't know, first, second, or third grade in school and learning there, I don't know, geography. So he knows there's a sea, there's continents and cities. You know, that's how he's taught, and all these things, they're drawn out, they're illustrated to him, drawn in pictures. So is he already a professional in this? Is he a geographer? What are you telling me? Someone who's reading it, they have a vessel. Just because someone's reading wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't mean they're a Kabbalist. The Kabbalist is one who receives the revelation of the Creator according to the law of equivalence of form, as we learn, in such degrees that he can determine himself how he receives the Creator. How he gives the Creator the ability to be revealed in him actively. It's not in the form of naran, nefesh ruach neshama, which is smallness. A Kabbalist can already determine the level of revelation of the Creator in him, and even more than this, how much from this he also passes on to others.
So I have a question to you. Inner light is something you can only attain through a screen? Inner light.
Of course.
Meaning a surrounding light, you can't... Meaning what builds your screen?
The screen is built by our exertion, and the upper light, the abstract light that is around us, a surrounding light, let's say.
Meaning our whole work is in the screen.
Yes. According to the screen, the size and character of the screen, we become Kabbalists, receivers.
We're in item 30. Inner light explains the light that is called Ruach. Item 30. The 10 sefirot of Ruach are regarded as bestowing. For this reason, the light of Ruach is denoted as male light, meaning it bestows. However, the 10 sefirot of Nefesh are called female light, meaning they receive and cannot bestow. For this reason, the 10 sefirot of the light of the line are regarded as the 10 sefirot of Ruach, indicating that they are regarded as male light, namely bestowing, as we've explained above. The Ruach is regarded as higher than the Nefesh because it bestows upon the Nefesh.
Yes, Tel Aviv 3.
Oh, Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, who bestows upon the line its lights?
יש לנו אור שהוא בא מהמשפיע מה.
We have light that comes from the bestower, from the creator, and it is received in the created being according to how much the created being wants to bestow back to him what it receives from him. So, to the extent that in the guest there's a desire to bestow to the host, he can receive from the host, and in this he bestows to the host. That's it. The light that he receives from the host is called the light of Ruach. Why? Because he received it in overcoming of himself, in exertion, in repulsion of his ego, and there is motion of this light, and thus it's called light of Ruach. But rather, whoever receives without a screen, without repulsion, without calculation, that's called receiving light of Nefesh. Let's say a baby. He has no opportunity to reach anything. In our parzuf, a spiritual parzuf in its smallness. And that's called, that he's receiving light of Nefesh.
Yes, thank you. But the lights that come to the Kav, as a system, how did they come to the line? Through the circles?
First, these are vessels of circles, and from them results the line, and the line is dependent upon the works of the lower ones.
Why, when the lights go through the circles?
All the lights are in circles. Circles, in general, all of creation is circles. It's everything that comes from the Creator is circles. And that when we awaken the lower ones, the Kabbalists, they're awakening the work in a line.
The light that goes through the circles is not bestowing? Isn't a circle bestowing? It passes the light to the line.
No, it doesn't pass. The line, the light in a circle doesn't pass. It's in the circle, and that's it, according to the influence of the Creator upon the created beings. But it's there is no bestowal on the part of the created being in this.
Want to organize it? Can we say that the light of Nefesh, we can say it's without a screen, is a corporeal pleasure, and the light of Ruach is a spiritual pleasure?
I don't understand where you're taking these things from. No. Light of Nefesh, light of Ruach, these are all spiritual vessels and spiritual states and spiritual lights. And it's all dependent upon the extent of overcoming of the person over his desire. And then he receives either Nefesh, Ruach, or Neshama, and so on.
But without a screen, there is no overcoming.
Okay, so, so
if there is no screen, there's no overcoming. I'm without a screen in the corporeal world. I don't have a screen. I just want to receive for myself.
So you have no light.
But he writes that a vessel without a screen receives the light of Nefesh.
You don't have a vessel. What vessel are you talking about? You have no desire for light. Even just will to receive, just like that, you don't have. What desire for light? Did you ever feel something? Has it revealed something in you? Listen a bit more to what we're talking about, okay? Haifa 1.
A desire, and we don't have it in our nature, this yearning. But in our true nature, there is an example, if you agree.
I did not understand your question.
In nature, we may see the example of a bird coming with food back to our chicks. Everyone opens their mouth. If one of them doesn't open his mouth, he's lost. Now everyone's going to sleep, but he's opening his mouth. Receiving, not receiving, he's opening his mouth. Meaning in nature, there's yearning we don't have. I just wanted to share this example from nature.
You want to share such an example from nature to open your mouth? But I agree with you. But, you know, to open your mouth, you'll be able only to the extent you have an intention to bestow. That's the difference between a bird and Adam. Adam that wants to be similar to the Creator, that does the same thing to the Creator, what the Creator does to him. Me to my beloved and my beloved to me. And such, we need to open our mouth. Sure, but the Creator expects this. But opening our mouth demands great preparation, that we equip ourselves with the intention to bestow, and with the extent of intention to bestow, we can open our mouth. Meaning we're performing restriction and we're saying to the Creator, okay, we're going to open our mouth, but you need to see that we have a restriction, and above this restriction, we want to receive just a bit like this, or first phase, or second phase, or third phase, or fourth phase in all our desire. So please, we want to be with you in agreement that more than what we're opening our mouth, you don't give us. Okay. Thank you for the example.
Kiev 1.
Thank you, Rav.
Kiev 1.
Мы в десятке в соединении нашем вот хотим вот это произвести.
We in our connection in a 10, we want to build it. To do it, at first we restrict ourselves, and then we know how much we want to receive. On the one hand, two on one pchina or two pchinot.
You're sure you did a restriction?
Не точно.
I'm not sure.
So how can you begin to check already after a restriction? You know, sometimes I receive such letters from people. It's mainly from women. I'm already in the world of infinity, and so on and so on, you know. You know, maybe it seems like this to a person. What can you do?
How to nonetheless perform this restriction and then this grading? What does it mean?
Restriction is called that I don't receive anything besides necessity, that not more, not less, that's so I can receive it because I must exist. But besides this, that I maintain myself in existence, I don't open any desire of mine or thought of mine to reach something before I have force of bestowal. And I demand then, through all sorts of actions that I do, in connection, in the group, in dissemination, only these two things help us reach the upper force, that he should hear us. And then I ask the Creator, then give me the force to bestow. Give me the force to love. Give me the force to exit myself. The main thing is simple, the force of connection. Give me, please, this force of connection. I must have it. And as much as we request like this, even that this request is a lie, and we're lying to ourselves, but time after time, more and more and more, we get used to this request. And then we begin to see that, oh, it's happening. It's working. And we want it. So, please make an effort to request. Request. It doesn't matter that you don't need it so much, or you're like little kids. They know what they need. But, you know, I want it. And that's it. But you don't want, I want it. Like that.
This force of restriction is when we prefer a connection for over reception?
Correct. Correct.
What do we receive after that? You said there are grades of reception after the restriction.
Receiving spiritual fulfillment, meaning you're beginning to receive pleasures that they're received in the will to bestow. And these pleasures are millions of times greater than what you felt in your will to receive ever. And upon these pleasures, you need to begin to receive them slowly, in limitation, in order to perform a screen upon them. Otherwise, you will receive an intention to receive, and everything will disappear. So for it not to disappear, it's not given to you such, rather, not immediately after, then after immediately, sorry, not immediately, then after many years of exertion and effort, and then when you reach such a state that you're capable of desiring to bestow, from all sorts of reasons, that you're already reaching such a state, you then receive a desire to bestow, and you then can reveal the Creator.
So tell us, please, it turns out that the spiritual pleasures, the lights we're talking about, are different kinds of bestowal?
No, it's all revelation of the Creator to you. All the upper light is revelation of the Creator.
Раскрытие Творца... Как что? Как свойство отдачи, которое я могу реализовать?
The revelation of the Creator is what? Is the quality of bestowal I can realize?
I can't tell you. You want me to pass on to you impression from revelation of the Creator. I am not capable of doing that. And if I would do it, let's say I was capable, it would ruin you. It would stop you from growing to receive that's correct for revelation of the Creator itself, Himself. Dudi?
Yes, should we continue? So we're in the words of Dari, item 5. Title, Ari Hanpin of the Circles, shines for Abba and Ima of the circles in the form of windows from the three lines, right, left, and middle in them. The light extends from them to all the circles, and therefore, every detail that is in the straightness also exists in the circles. Item 5. Even when the 10 sefirot are regarded as circles, one within the other, they already have all the forms of reception of the abundance that exist in the line of straightness. It is so because the circle of Kippur, called Arichanpin, after the correction, has one foramen and window on the right-hand side of the circle. From there, the light of Arich comes to the circle of Abba and shines to it. There is yet another window on the left-hand side of the circle of Arich. The light reaches the left-hand side of the circle of Abba, which is inside it, punctures it, and makes a window in it. The light extends from there to the circle of Ima, inside the circle of Abba, and shines in it. Thus, the light that passes in the left of the circle of Abba is not for Abba himself. It only passes there, but the illumination is primarily for Ima. It turns out that Arichanpin shines for Abba and Ima together, just like their straightness. Even though they are one circle within the other, they still have straight lines, right, left, and middle, in the windows in them. The light extends from their intense field of circles, through completely straight lines, in every detail in the tense field of the straight line of Ruach. We'll read again item 5, the words of the Ari. Ari Chanpin of the circles shines for Abba and Ima of the circles in the form of windows from the three lines, right, left, and middle in him. The light extends from them to all the circles, and therefore, every detail that is in the straightness also exists in the circles. Even when the ten sefirot are regarded as circles, one within the other, they already have all the forms of reception of the abundance that exist in the line of straightness. It is so because the circle of Keter, called Arichanpin after the correction, has one foramen and window on the right-hand side of the circle. From there, the light of Arich comes to the circle of Abba and shines to it. There is yet another window on the left-hand side of the circle of Arich. The light reaches the left-hand side of the circle of Abba, which is inside it, punctures it, and makes a window in it. The light extends from there to the circle of Ima, inside the circle of Abba, and shines in it. Thus, the light that passes in the left of the circle of Abba is not for Abba himself. It only passes there. But the illumination is primarily for Ima. It turns out that Arichanpin shines for Abba and Ima together, just like their straightness, even though they are one circle within the other. They still have straight lines, right, left, and middle, in the windows in them. The light extends from there in ten sefirot of circles, through completely straight lines, in every detail in the ten sefirot of the straight line of Ruach.
I just want to add, we're learning, now, we're reading now about what's happening on a very, very high level spiritually. It doesn't belong to us, it's not in our world, it's not above our world, it's truly in infinity, like in very high spiritual degrees. But we need to read it and to direct ourselves to this, that it will influence us. Influence us. And even that we don't understand a word from this, that we want it to influence us because we belong to it, in any case, to the system, then we receive great surrounding light from it because it influences us from a very high degree. And from a higher degree, the surrounding light is even stronger. It's not that it's distant from us. There is no distance in spiritual surrounding. They have no distance. They're in every place. And so it's worthy for us when we're reading about such distant things, in any case, to be in this intention that I want it to influence me. I want it to come to me and change me. That's it. Okay. What are we going to do?
Moscow 5.
Moscow 5.
Что такое правая и левая сторона игуля?
What is the right and the left side, hand side of the circle? Can we define that?
Right line is bestowal, left line is reception, supposedly. All the rest we will learn soon. Soon we're truly going to finish this part in all pnimi, inner light, and we're going to go on to the inner observation, and there's explanations about everything there. Baltia 1.
Афпат, вы сказали, что читая текст, вот чтобы он повлиял на меня.
Rav, you said that the text, we should ask the text to influence or bestow upon me as I read. After this lesson, we're going to build a prayer. What's the right way to ask? You previously said, give me the force of connection. Or maybe give us the force of connection. Or give the friends the force of connection. And give me only the opportunity to ask.
How to request? I request, it's better without limiting ourselves, specifically this or him. I want force of bestowal from the upper light, that like it is entirely in bestowal, that will also bestow upon us, give us connection and mutual bestowal between us, so we'll be able to bestow one to another according to the general law of bestowal. Of course, it will come from the upper illumination, the upper light. But in any case, that will influence us by our desire. And that by our desire already will want to use it and in return bestow it to the Creator. That's called already reflected light. And so we want in this reflected light, in our bestowal to the Creator, then to receive from the Creator what He wants to give us. That it will then be reception on the intention to bestow, from the Creator to the created being.
But when I ask, give me, I understand it's not only for me, because if I'll be in bestowal, then I'll invest more in the 10 in the world, etc. But still,
it's
as if I'm asking for us, I'm already in it. I'm incorporated in it. So it incorporates my will to receive.
No. You need to think about all your friends and your entire 10, and also you in the end. Also you. Don't forget about yourself. Otherwise, you're not stabilizing yourself in the correct place, and it will be an egoistic place. Stabilize yourself in the end. On the righteous, on the great ones, and on them, and them, and them, and also us. Meaning, this in the end. We must be. Not requesting anything else other than to fill them, to help them, to support them. But this you want it to be. Don't forget yourself. PT 19.
There's a very beautiful sentence here saying that with the 10 sefirot being as circles, one within the other, they have all the discernments of reception of the abundance of the 10 sefirot of the direct, a straight line. I wanted to ask you, how do I draw this line? The abundance is there, right? I just need to draw it. If I don't draw it, what happens to that abundance when no one receives it? What happens in the world?
He means without the vessel of reception, without created beings.
These are all the troubles of the world?
It's seemingly before them, above them, the aspect of the Creator.
So what happens in the world? If no one draws this light, what happens with it?
There's such thing that it's not drawn. In any case, there is a constant illumination which maintains creation for it to awaken and advance to the end of correction.
Yeah. Meaning the faster we do it, the faster the correction will come to the world?
Yes, of course.
We're in inner light, item 40, explaining the 10 sefirot are as circles. Item 40, meaning the 5 degrees, kachab zon, do not extend in straightness, meaning one below the other, from refined to coarse. But rather, the 5 degrees are equal, and not one below the other, namely, with great coarseness. Of course, there is a differentiation of cause and effect between them, because they do emerge from one another, and are drawn from one another. For example, Chokhmah came from Keter, Bina from Chokhmah and Zeranpin, from Bina, and Malchut from Zeranpin. However, that above differentiation of cause and effect is defined by there being one inside the other. In that state, each reason causes its consequence. Chokhmah is caused by Keter, and Bina is caused by Chokhmah, etc. Thus, one within the other means that one is the result of the other. However, there is no differentiation of up or down between them whatsoever.
It's like in circles, yes? We have one circle. Within it there is a second circle, within it a third circle. And so each circle is goes around. This one goes around this, this one goes around that. But not that there is an upper and lower. There is external and more internal. That's the difference. It's not that one is more or less than the other. There is no more or less. Whether it precedes the other. That's the big difference. This, that it precedes, yes, the one and the two and the three, each precedes the other. That's correct, but not that it is more. We can then speak about the importance, but actually we're always talking about cause and effect. That this is the first, it is the cause, and the second one is the effect, and the third one, the result of that also. Okay? Where are you, Dudi?
Item 50, inner light.
Okay, wait, 50 is long. It's a long letter. We'll continue that tomorrow already. Any questions more till tomorrow?
No.
Maybe because the first part was so strong, going in, overcoming.
That's our whole life, all our work. That's correct, and I'm happy that you received it in such a manner.
So I want to ask, because you gave us an instruction today to read these excerpts as much as possible. On the other hand, you said maybe not too much, so you won't be confused. So what's the right dosage?
The
correct dose? I don't know. All the time.
What can we do? I find in these excerpts always additions, as many years as I'm familiar with them. That's how, in some of them I was even present when Rabash wrote them. In any case, the renewal comes from within the person, that he changes, and so he then sees always new things in them. So, we are not separating from our topic. It is the most important topic. We've reached states that we feel that this is how we must, in each and every moment, behave, and thus everything is promised to us. So be healthy, and let's make the effort till tomorrow, more and more, to read, to listen, to learn, connect in the groups. Not the best.
One announcement. This morning, our live broadcast will start at 10:30 until 11:15 in our observation with Rav Lightman and Owen Levy. Goodbye.
Thousands of years in the darkness we roam, chasing a whisper that's guiding us home. So many miles searching for a sign to break free from these cages of time. Is there some place beyond all the noise? A sweet silence behind every voice? Something pulling us out from the dark? Something holding behind these broken parts? Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine